please stand with me? And will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this night. This night that we come together as a body and we remember the sacrifice that you made. We remember your blood spilled on this cross. And God, we just pray that we would not take lightly your message of salvation. And Lord, we pray that we would let it sink into our hearts and that we would remember your gospel, God, because that's what this weekend, this time is about, your gospel. The fact that you came, you made a way for us to have relationship with you. So Lord, as we worship tonight, be in our midst, be in this place, God, and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm reminded of a song we used to sing, saying there's room at the cross for me. There's room at the cross for me. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for me. I don't know who needs to hear that message tonight, but I just want to encourage you that you never made Jesus your Lord and Savior. Or you did at one point, but you've kind of drifted away from him. There's still room at the cross for you and for me. Amen. Gonna do a twofer tonight. We're gonna have a message and communion in one. I'm gonna try to tie them together somehow so you don't have to endure seeing me up here twice. And at the time that we partake of communion, the ushers have set the tables back there. You would please, this side would use that side, this side would use that side. And remember to keep our distance, appropriate distance from one another. Our scripture for communion from 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And we begin at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And as I was thinking about this scripture, I read this, as those of you that have been around here, read this a lot of times. I kind of tried to transport myself back into the circumstances that Jesus was going through at this time in his life and at this time in his ministry. Verse 23 tells us that what happens here happened when? In the night in which he was betrayed. Now, I don't know about you, but were I in that circumstance or in that situation, so many other things would have been going through my mind. But yet, Jesus went through this for a reason. And for those of you that were here for Pastor Jim's message on the Passover Seder, we see the not only the symbolism, but the reality of Jesus being revealed throughout the whole ceremony. So it's not just a ceremony. It's not just a ritual. No. It's much more real than that. But because of who he is, he was able to do this, and we're going to look at that in three different aspects. But first of all, I'm going to read four verses from Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 2, pardon me. And we're going to start at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So we're going to look at just three. The life of Jesus was, you can't learn everything about it even if you spent a whole lifetime. We're just going to look at 3 points this evening. The first thing we're going to look at is the selflessness of Jesus. The selflessness of Jesus. I started off by saying I don't know how many people who were looking at being killed would be able to sit down and teach and have a conversation with their disciples. But he was able to do this because he was the ultimate selfless person. We read in the scriptures all through the gospels. Every time we encounter Jesus, what was he doing? He was teaching. He was feeding. He was encouraging. He was healing. He was leading. He was doing something, imparting something, teaching something, modeling something, and all he was doing really had nothing to do with him. Everything he did was on behalf of others. He poured himself out, literally, into his, not only his disciples, but their families, their relatives, the whole community, everywhere he went. We used to sing a song, everywhere he went, he was doing good. He's a mighty healer. He cleansed the lepers. When the cripples saw him, they started walking. Everywhere he went, my Lord was doing good. It was never about him. It was never about his comfort. In fact, it was never about him. His whole life, His whole existence was about pouring himself into others. And as we sang the song, where the blood ran red and my sin washed white, till he poured out not only himself but his life. So when the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, his life was ultimately an example of God's power at work. And because of his selflessness, we can go to the next aspect, which is closely related to selflessness, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus. You see, sacrifice is closely aligned with selflessness. It's hard to sacrifice anything when we're wrapped up in ourselves and concerned about ourselves, where our whole world is me, myself, and I. It's awfully quiet in here. But he made, not only did he sacrifice his time, not only did he sacrifice his comforts, not only did he sacrifice his blood, not only did he sacrifice everything he was and everything he had, but he ultimately sacrificed his life. Why? Because that was the purpose, that he left heaven and came to earth as a man. Came in flesh. He still had the power. But we hear the words he's saying as he's hanging on the cross. It is finished. He paid the ultimate price. And even as he was agonizing in the garden and praying, he agonized, Lord, let this cup, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It wasn't easy. He paid the ultimate price. And why did he have to do it? Because now we see the saving grace of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, the scripture says there is no remission of sin. And from the time mankind chose to sin and break the fellowship that God had created us to have with him, God had a plan already in place to reconcile man to himself. And all through the Old Testament, we see that they had to make blood sacrifices with animals. They had to go and look and find the best that they could find without, the Bible says, without spot or blemish, as far as the eye could see. Find the most perfect specimen of the animal that they could find. and slaughter that poor animal and go through ceremonies and to cover sin. But you see, the blood of the animals, they found the most perfect one they could find, but they were still imperfect. And that blood could only cover the sin for a period. When Jesus came, and the scripture says he became obedient, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. When he shed his precious blood, when he gave up his life, that blood, because he was without sin and without spot, without blemish, that blood was able to once and for all wash our sins away. Scripture says, he who knew no sin, speaking about Jesus, he became sin that we might be made righteous. He became sin that we might be made righteous. He paid the ultimate price. So as we come this evening to partake of communion, something that Jesus started himself and showed the example to his disciples and has passed down over the years since then, let's come not only with an attitude of reverence, but with an attitude of gratitude, with a heart full of appreciation for what God has done for us. Even if he doesn't perform one other miracle in our lives, he's already saved us from certain damnation and certain death and given us eternal life. Amen. Greater love than this has no man, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. That's what the Bible says. So we already read the scripture. Let us pray. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to gather as your children tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we love you because you first loved us. We thank you, Lord, that we proclaimed with our lips and believe in our hearts that you are Lord, you are our Savior, you are our Redeemer, you are our Helper, you are our Leader, and Father, you are all in all, and we just appreciate you tonight, Lord, not only for what you've done, for what you continue to do and what you still have to do in our lives, but just simply for who you are to us, Lord. We give you all praise. We give you all glory tonight. Lord, we lift up every person in this sanctuary. We lift up every family represented here tonight, Lord. And Father, we pray for a renewed vision of who you are, Lord. We pray that you will put in us the desire to draw closer to you, that you will put in us the desire to fulfill your purposes for which you've saved us, Lord, that you will put in us a renewed zeal and strength to continue to press forward, to continue to tell others about your saving grace, to continue to be a light in a dark place. Oh Lord, we pray for the strength of your Holy Spirit to rise up within us tonight. And even as we partake tonight of this representation of your body that was broken and your blood that was shed for us, Lord, oh, we pray for strength. We pray for strength. We pray for endurance. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to continue to run this race to the end. Father, because we know that victory is assured for those who reach the finish line. We commit ourselves, our home, our church, our community to you, Lord, and pray that you will move through us to bless those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture says the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. When he had broken, given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the cup. When all is said and done, it's all about Jesus. It begins with Jesus. It goes through Jesus. It's all about him. The world will try to put all kinds of distractions across our path. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. The scripture says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's keep our eyes on him. Let's meditate this all the time, but especially during this season that we're in, on what exactly he means to us. And keep holding on. Don't give up. Don't grow weak or weary. The enemy will try to beat us down. He'll put stumbling blocks in our path. But God will lead us through them. And we can take heart because victory is assured. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that your spirit is here with us. We thank you, Lord, for encouraging us this evening with your word, with the songs, with the music, but above all, by your presence in our midst. Father, we just pray that we will have a renewed appreciation for who you are to us, Lord. And Father, as we leave this place, may we never leave your presence. But may your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Come back Sunday. Let's celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Amen.